Open up to the book of Luke this morning, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 24. Luke chapter 24, since I will not be preaching next Sunday, but Brother Van Gelder will be preaching all Sunday for us, I thought we'd look a little bit about Easter, Resurrection Sunday, whatever you feel comfortable calling it. And it's a wonderful time of year. It's awesome for what it stands for. Most people enjoy that day, especially Christians. When they come together, it's a day of joy. It's a day of optimism. It's a day, hey, look what God can do. But then we forget about it sometimes, and we kind of go our own way. So the title of this morning's message is Easter Reminds Us. Easter reminds us, and it's going to be the beginning point for each one. Easter reminds us of this, or Easter reminds us of that. So you think about it, we come together and we rejoice. We're excited about Resurrection Sunday morning because it reminds us of what God did for us, reminds us of the love of God, reminds us of the power of God. It does so many different things, but it wasn't like that the first Easter Sunday. That first Easter Sunday, the believers, until they interacted with Christ or until they heard what happened or knew what would happen, it was a pretty bad day. That from when Christ died until he rose again, even when after he rose again, there was people who didn't believe. And even later on, the disciples are hiding in a room when Jesus enters the room. I mean, it was not a day of excitement, joy, and rejoicing like we celebrate Easter. It was a fearful day. It was a day that was filled with agony. It was a day that was filled with discouragement. It was a day that there was no elation. There was no excitement. There was uncertainty and fear that filled these believers' minds and hearts. And then Jesus arose. And then Jesus appeared to different individuals. And once he appeared unto them, you know what happens? It changes. Everything changes. And it's amazing that it reminds us that he can take our fear and make it into faith. He can take our fears and make a great victory of it. So this morning, I'd like to look at this thought. Easter reminds us of some things, and I know you can make a long list, but I think we're only going to get through two. We might introduce the third one, and tonight we might look at the third one a little bit more. But Easter reminds us, and the first thing I like to think about is Easter reminds us that we can trust God's word. Easter reminds us that we can trust God's word. What do you mean? Well, you think about it. I know the introduction was about those first disciples, believers. They were there, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe not all of them, maybe some remembered what Jesus said, but if they would have just remembered what Jesus had taught them, and not just taught them numerous times that, hey, I'm going to be put in the hands of a sinful man, I'm going to die on the cross, I'm going to raise again in 3 days. And if they would just to remember that, can you imagine what the difference from Friday, Saturday, Sunday would have been like? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and whenever you think that Christ died. And we might look at that and study that out a little bit. But he talked about he was in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. So from that thought process, how much different it would have been if they would have just believed what Jesus had told them earlier. Let's jump in here. Luke chapter number 24. Let's go to verse number 1. Christ has died. He's been buried. And here it is talking about the first day of the week. Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. God, we need you today. I need you, Lord, to give me the exact words that you want to be said. And Lord, I'm surrendering myself, Lord, to be that vessel that you, however way you choose to use. Lord, we need you to speak to people's hearts. And Lord, we need to remember the purpose of Resurrection Sunday. We need to remember what these things remind us of, and not just remember them for today, but to carry them, not just during this Easter season, but throughout our whole year and throughout our whole lives. Lord, those disciples would have looked and acted a lot different if they would have just believed what you had told them. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing I want you to think about, it reminds us that we can trust God's word. And those first days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they're there and they're devastated. They even, after these ladies come back and they meet the angels and they come back and they tell the disciples, and they still don't believe them. If they would just remember, and look what it says in verse number 6. He says, this is the angel speaking. He says, he is not here but risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. And then he even reminds him, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day arise. And the third day rise again. They would have saved themselves a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble, a lot of problems, if they would have just listened the first time. Now, how true is that in our Christian lives? When I think of Easter Sunday, Easter reminds me of something, it reminds me that everything that God said is going to come true. Everything he's told me, every promise in the book is mine, everything. He's told the truth. Now, the disciples, did they not hear him? Of course they heard him. Why didn't they listen? They didn't believe. They didn't understand. They didn't see the whole picture. Think about what it says in the book of Matthew 26, verses 31 and 32. It says, then say Jesus unto them, of all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So he's telling the disciples, hey, look, the night before he dies, he says, look, all you're going to be offended of me, but someday, he says, after I'm risen again, he even tells them in John when he's instituting the Lord's Supper in verse number 13, he talks about one of them betraying him, talking about future events. He puts it this way, I speak not of all of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Now, you go back and you think about those verses in John chapter 13. He's sitting there amongst them. He's instituting the Lord's Supper. He says, I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you before it happens. So that way, when it does happen, your faith doesn't have to be shaken. When this does occur, you don't have to be worried. You don't have to be concerned because you know that I am he, because I knew about it ahead of time. He said that one of you is going to betray me. He's obviously speaking of Judas there. He's telling disciples, you don't have to be worried. He says that I am he, saying that you, the one that you believe that I am, that's who I am. But less than a few hours later, what happens? They take off. They're afraid. What happens? The women come back and said, hey, the angels did this. And remember, Jesus told us that he was going to be put in the hands of sinful men. Remember, you told us. He said that. And that on the third day, he was going to rise again. Don't you remember? They still wouldn't believe. I want to encourage you today, as we're getting ready to celebrate Easter or Resurrection Sunday, I want you to believe God at his word. It's going to come true. We live in a day today that seems like it's overrun with people being fearful. We live in a day today where it's overrun with people just not caring. We live in a day where it seems like sin is running rampant and we don't know why, but the Bible tells us that these days are going to be filled with this. If we will remember what he has told us, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live like the disciples did for those 3 days in fear and worry and concern. We can live victoriously and we can live rejoicing because he's promised us he's coming again. He's promised us that many of these are signs of the times and many things that we should be encouraged about. He prophesied about his death and resurrection. He told them over and over. He told them that that he was going to die and that he was going to rise again, but they missed it. Now he's telling us also, reminded, that he said he's coming back. Do we live like he's coming back? Do we truly believe that today he could return? It's going to take us by surprise, just like it took the disciples by surprise. Think about what it says in John chapter 14, verses 1 and 3. He prophesies his second coming. He says, let not your heart be troubled. He said, look, you don't need to be afraid. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Pastor, this is basic stuff. It is, but why are we living like he's not coming back? I mean, the disciples missed it. They missed it. And I know that their understanding was open after Christ. I know all of that. But he told them that specifically. The angels even tell these ladies, hey, look, don't you remember him saying this? He's coming again, and we can trust him for that. If the disciples would have trusted him earlier, they wouldn't have had that fear, that worry, and that anxiety. And if we will trust the fact he's returning again and that he's gone to prepare us a place and that he will return again, we don't have to be worried and filled with despair. We don't have to be discouraged. We can be rejoicing. I always thought it would have been awesome in that first Sunday morning that if those disciples would have called a whole big prayer meeting or a whole big service and say, hey, let's look at that tomb Sunday morning. Instead of living in fear, they would have said, hey, he said he's going to rise again 3 days. I would have been out there and sat there, as least I like to say, just sat there and wait till that day until somebody write. They missed so much. Why? Because they didn't believe. They didn't believe what he said the first time. I think they should have had a big party that morning when that angel rolled away the stone and saw that the body wasn't there. But they didn't. They missed it. So often we miss it because we don't take him at his word. So one of the first things, and this might not be what you think of when it comes to Easter Sunday morning, but for me, we can trust God at his word. Whatever he says is going to come true. It will build our faith. We can trust him. He prophesied about the death and resurrection. He prophesied about the second coming. And he tells us so many more things in his word. You know, the Bible says that we're all sinners. We can trust that. You know, we don't have to go around and be like, I'm not sure. No, we're all sinners, the Bible says. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches us that we are lost without him, and that if you die without Christ, you'll die in your sins. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Take your Bible and look over in verses 46 and 47. He's on the road of Emmaus here, and he's speaking to two of his followers, and he says to them, they have not recognized him yet. And it says in verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. After that, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He's saying to them, hey, look, what are you worried about? What are you sad about? What don't you understand? He says, he didn't say at that point in time, because his identity was hidden at that moment in time. But he's saying, look, this is what was supposed to happen. And then after this happens, after he rises again from the dead, the repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that the Bible has promises that are true. And he's saying that we should preach the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again, and that's the only way to heaven. You say, oh, that's what you think. No, you can trust God in his word. He told the disciples ahead of time, look, I know one of you going to betray me, and I don't want you to be surprised about it. I knew about it ahead of time. I knew that I was going to be put in the hands of sinful men. I knew I was going to be buried and rise again. So that way you won't be worried that day when it happens. You won't be discouraged at the cross. You'll be saying, hey, it may be the day he died, but the day he rose again is coming. It's coming. And be excited about that. And that's what the scriptures are saying. And that's what we should remember about Easter. He told them ahead of time. He was God. He knew all about it. And he said, well, how do we translate that to us today? We can trust his word. When he puts a promise in there, you can trust it. But how often do we not? How often are we like those disciples in despair and discouragement, overwhelmed, not sure what's going to happen next? Even when the rest of the people are saying, hey, I met with the Lord. God spoke to me. God gave me this message. Oh, that works for you. But it's just like idle tales. When you hear, when God speaks to somebody, God works in somebody's hearts and doesn't resonate with us. Why is that? Because it's like, well, that's good for them. Not only, but it hasn't happened to me, so I don't know. You can believe and trust in his word. So when we think about Easter, you could say, here's something I'd like to give you, and I know it's true, and I know it's real. How do you know it's real? Because he's made good on every promise he's ever given. All those different promises about the first coming of Christ, there's many more promises about the second coming. And he was true about the first one. He's going to be true about the second one. And we don't have to live like the disciples did in fear and discouragement, overwhelmed, worried about what the world's going to say. Instead, we can trust him in his word, and we can step out by faith and say, I believe God, because of the fact he's proven to be true in fear. So if we say that we believe that all men are in need of a Savior, and that's what Christ died for, do we truly believe that? Do we truly believe there's a place called hell where people have been there for thousands of years? You go to Luke 16, you think about that rich man. Do we truly believe that he's been burning in a horrible place called hell for the last 2,000 years? And the Bible says it. Do we truly believe that? Because if we believe that, then why don't we tell other people? He's saying here, he says that the remission of sin should be preached in his name. In his name to who? Should be preached in his name among all nations. He's saying that there is a purpose and there's a reason. And Easter reminds me, we trust him at his word. And if you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior, or you're believing and trusting, hey, I know what the Bible says, but I've done some good works. I've done some good things. I feel like God's always been with me. I feel like I've done more good works. And no way that God's going to send me to hell. You got to trust him at his word. You got to believe what the Bible says. You can't be trusting in yourself. You got to believe what he says. And what does he say about it? He says that all men are lost, all men are sinners, all have fallen short of the glory of God, and all are perishing. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that we're all perishing. We're condemned already. You say, Pastor, I don't like believing things like that. That's the point here. So many people say they believe the scriptures, but they're living like the disciples of that day, for those days. They're not taking it at his word. So when we think about Easter Sunday, one of the things that reminds me that maybe most people don't always see or always get is I can trust God. I don't care what happens in this world. I can trust him with whatever happens. Second thing I want you to think about, and it might be a little different than what you would normally think about in an Easter sermon, is the second thing is Easter reminds us we are in a spiritual battle. Easter reminds us that we're in a spiritual battle. I don't know about you, but I see how Christ suffered on that cross. And we heard the song, we sang the song, The Old Rugged Cross. It's got a strange attraction. It's, you know, people look at the cross. I know that it's behind the screen, but people look at the cross and they look at it as a picture of torture. But that cross is where Christ died for me. And I see the agony he went through. It was serious. Our sin must be dealt with. The wrath of God was poured out upon his son on that cross and reminds me that we're in a spiritual battle, that our sin is something serious. It's not something we should play around with. It's not somebody says, well, I'll deal with it later. No, our sin has a penalty that must be paid. And Christ paid that penalty. And it reminds me of that spiritual battle. You think about all throughout the Bible, there's different times when Satan tried to get rid of the Jewish race. You think about Pharaoh wanting to kill all the infant boys. He wanted to get rid of the Jewish race. You think about Haman that wanted to get rid of all the Jews in Esther's day. You think about Herod killing all the babies. He didn't want Jesus to come. He didn't want Jesus to die. And then when he's on the cross, Satan gave him everything he could. And it still didn't matter. You see the battle that's intense there. There's a spiritual war and spiritual battle is coming. But Easter reminds us something. Easter is that God won, that God is the victory, and we can be victorious also. So here's a couple of things I want you to think about. When it comes out, Easter reminds me that we're in a spiritual battle. Is number one is remember you are in a battle. Remember that you're in a battle. The Bible tells us we have an enemy. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. He says, look, you have an enemy. You don't need to ignore this enemy. Sometimes that's the problem, is that we ignore our enemies and they end up taking us over. He says, resist them steadfast in the face. You do have an enemy. And you think about in Corinthians, it talks about how the weapons are our warfare. They're not carnal. And 2 Timothy, it says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Over and over in the scriptures, it says, you're in a battle. You're in a battle. And Easter shows that that payment was paid in that great spiritual battle that was fought and won. He said, what battle are you talking about? Christ in the garden was sweating great drops of blood, and the intensity of that battle and that fight that was happening that day caused the disciples to flee for their lives, and they still lived in fear for those days. We don't have to live that way. He fought that battle. He won that battle, and now we're engaged in the battle, yes, but Satan is a defeated foe. Satan is a defeated foe. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. So yes, it is a battle, but the battle we're fighting is we're fighting against a defeated foe. We're fighting against someone we can win against. With God's help, we do not have to sin. With God's help, we can have the victory. You say, Pastor, that sounds great. That sounds wonderful. But are you living a victorious Christian life today? Are you someone that's still struggling in your sin? Someone who just can't seem to get over an addiction? Someone who seems like they're failing over and over and not growing in their Christian walk? It doesn't seem like a defeated foe, but that cross, what happened on Easter reminds us we're in a spiritual battle. But our opponent is a defeated one. Think about what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3. At the end of verse number 8, it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Colossians 2:15 puts it this way, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Romans 16:20 puts it this way, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm saying that Easter reminds me, yes, it's a spiritual battle, but it reminds me I can have the victory. I don't have to give in. I don't have to sin. I don't have to be a servant of sin. I can choose to be a servant of righteousness. We need to realize that we have a position in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and have raised us together, raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're sitting together with him. We can have victory with him. And Jesus is the one who is far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all the things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I want to encourage you today that we can have victory through Jesus Christ. And that's why we should stand. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wouldn't it be great to see the devil fleeing from you? You say, well, that's not possible. Well, do you believe the first thing we talked about? We can trust him at his word. So if we will take the Bible at its word and say, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and the Bible says he has to flee from you. This is a spiritual battle, but it's a defeated foe. And because it's a defeated foe, we can be victorious. That's what Easter reminds me. Now, I think it's great that Christ, we remember that Christ died and the price he paid and that he rose again victoriously. But let's apply that to our hearts. Let's apply that to our lives. Let's live victorious Christian lives instead of falling and failing and being overwhelmed with the things of this world. Let's be the conquerors that he talks about in Romans chapter 8. And let's stand against the devil. The Bible says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I know I don't think I use it every Easter, but I use that illustration at the beginning about those disciples. The day of the discouragements, they was when Christ was in the tomb. They shouldn't have been days of discouragement. They shouldn't have been days of defeat. They should have been days of rejoicing and saying, he promised us, he told us it happened, and now he's coming back. And same thing for us. These days that are hard and difficult, where it seems like evil men are becoming worse and worse, and it seems like the things of this world are getting farther and farther down, acting like the world, acting like the devil. It's not times to get discouraged. It's to say, hey, I have confidence. God's word said these things were going to happen, and he's coming back. I can trust in his word. And now I should take these things and I should apply them to our lives. And when we have victory in our lives, you know what that means? We can show victory to others. But so often we seem so defeated and discouraged because we become so much like the world that we don't act like them that are excited when they meet Christ. Instead, we're more the ones that are timid and fear because of the fact we don't know what's going to happen. They knew what was going to happen, and they chose just not to believe. Number one, it reminds us that we can trust in God's word. Number two, it reminds us that we're in a spiritual battle, and there was an intense battle that happened around the cross. But Christ was the victor, and he can give us the victory too. Don't buy the lie that the devil has that you have to sin. It's just not true. The third thing, and I don't think we're going to get very far on this, but just wanted to at least let you know what the third point would be. It's Easter reminds us of God's love. It reminds us of God's love. The amazing thing is that God loves us. I don't know why. I don't always understand why, but he loves us. He's faithful to us. He's patient with us. He's kind. The Bible said, God commendeth his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You can take God at his word when he says that without him, you will end up in a horrible place called hell. But you can also take God at his word when he says, for whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved. You can take God upon his word when he says that you can ask him to save you, when the remissions of sins is something that can happen for each individual. I mentioned Miss Lydia and I were talking. Lydia George is a lady who's getting baptized today, and she mentioned that I could tell a little bit about her testimony before the baptism. And she was a young lady at a grew up in a home where God-fearing people, and she was at a young age, as a child's age, I don't remember all of it, but she said a prayer, and she didn't really understand it, she believes, and didn't make a difference in her life. And later on in her life, God got a hold of her heart, she got saved, and that's why she's getting baptized today, because that's when baptism comes, is after salvation. She saw her need, and she cried out to the Lord at a later age in life, and then she got saved. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. She also told me the story about that there was two people that were each Wednesday that was fasting and praying for her salvation or for her to get right with God for quite a period of time. And she had said something like, hey, I don't mind you talking about that because there might be people that are out there that need to remind that maybe you're praying for someone that's away from the Lord or doesn't even know God. And if we will fast and if we will pray, God will hear and answer our prayers. And I want to encourage you today, when we think about the love of God, I don't know if we can really explain it all or we can understand it all. But as God reveals things to us, as we understand him and learn more about him, I know how patient and kind he was with me. I know in this room there's a lot of people he was patient and kind with. Most people don't hear the gospel the first time, don't respond the first time they hear it. Many times it's weeks, months, years. And I want to encourage you today, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? I'm not saying have you said some words of a prayer. I'm not saying that you're a church member or that you've been baptized. I'm asking you, has there been a time in your life that you realize you were a sinner? And because of that sin, God convicted your heart and showed you that you had a need of a Savior. And did you put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross? I'm not asking you if you believe that there is a Jesus Christ or if you believe there's a God. No, but because of the sin that was in your life, you realized the penalty for your sin, and you believed that Jesus Christ died and he was buried and he rose again to pay your sin debt, and you asked God to save you by faith. Has there been a time like that in your life? Sometimes when people say a prayer as a child and never remember or understand any part of it, and they realize that because God convicts their heart, not only just as a child, sometimes as an adult, God convicts their heart and shows them they have a need. You need a Savior. And I would encourage you to deal with that. God dealt with our sin on the cross with Jesus. And that remission of sins was something that repentance and remission of sins is to be preached in his name among all nations. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the change that someone's that God can make in a person's life. So if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior today, we're going to have an invitation in just a moment. I would encourage you to come forward. Brother Joe will have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven, never having to question it again. And then the opportunity of getting baptized, following the Lord in believer's baptism. Baptism does not save you, but it is the first step of obedience. If you've never, ever been baptized, let me encourage you. Make sure you get that taken care of. And then after baptism, there's joining a church so you can be involved. If you've never done if you need to do one of those steps, let's get it fixed. Let's get it done. Let's get it taken care of because we want to serve the Lord. We want to move forward. Why? Because God loves us. I'm thankful that someone told me about the love of God. I was going to church my whole entire life, but it wasn't until 8 or 9 that the Lord spoke to my heart and showed me my need. At least the first time I ever remember the conviction of the sin that was in my life and that I needed a Savior, I cried out to the Lord and he saved me. And he saved me and I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm thankful for that. Now, sometimes there's doubts and sometimes people do doubt. But I want to encourage you, if you have any question in your mind, let somebody take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. Or you can come talk to me after church. I'd be glad to sit and talk with you as long as you need to help you understand the importance of knowing Christ as your personal Savior. Because you can trust His Word. That's the point number one. Easter reminds me, I can trust in the Lord. Whatever He says, I can trust in it. Not only does I can trust in it, it reminds me I'm in a spiritual battle. And the problem is, many people that are in the spiritual battle just are not fighting. You know, usually if you're in a wrestling match and you don't do anything against your opponent, you're going to lose. It's one-on-one. And if you're there and you're sitting there wrestling, you just sit there, no matter how much weaker or smaller the other person is, in that wrestling match, sooner or later, you're going to lose. And many times, we're just not fighting in the spiritual battle. We're thinking we can't have victory, but Christ already won the victory. We're fighting against a defeated foe, and with God's help, we can have victory. We got to remember that. That's what Easter tells us. Stop living with this thought that I have to sin, I have to give in, I don't have any choice. Christ won that victory for us, and we can have victory through him and with his help. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the message. You know, Easter means lots of things to lots of people. Some people focus on spring. Some people focus on bunnies. Some people focus on eggs. And Lord, I understand why people do those things for just enjoyment or things that they just don't know better. But Lord, help us never to lose sight of what Easter really teaches us. It teaches us that in your word, we can trust everything you say. We can trust it when you say that you're coming back. We can trust it when you say that we're sinners and in need of a Savior. We have problems when we forget or when we don't obey or when we don't trust. Lord, I pray you help us today. I pray if there's someone here today that's not sure of their salvation, I pray you convict their hearts with it. Lord, help them to seek out through the invitation time or after church someone to talk to about being saved. And Lord, I pray for all those that are believers here today that you would encourage them to live a victorious Christian life. They look at the cross. They see what the cross did. They see what you did on that cross, and sin was something that was serious and something that was dealt with. And God, help us to learn to deal with our sins also. Help us not to continue on living in sin and a lackluster, weak, anemic Christian life. But as we remember Easter, help us not to be like the disciples in fear and discouragement. But we know there's a risen Savior, and we know he's returning again, and that we can have victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have everybody stand to their feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time invitation. Like I said, if you don't know Christ or you're not sure about your salvation, come see Brother Joe. He'd be glad to help you any way he can. Also, we're going to have a baptism after the invitation. Brother Jim's just going to lead us in some songs after that until we're ready. But if God's spoken to your heart about anything in the message, let me encourage you, do some business with God. Don't keep on playing with your sin. Let God do a thorough work in your heart. And the altar's open as Brother Jim sings.